from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube with a very special guest. A lot of these excerpts are making national headlines, and the man who wrote the Aaron Rodgers book is Ian O'Connor, very famous longtime journalist, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good morning, guys. It's a pleasure, since I grew up in New Jersey worshiping the Dallas Cowboys and idolizing Roger Staubach, who's still my idol today, and I'm 60 years old. So it's a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, I got to ask you a really weird, random question to start off, and this is carrying over from our last segment. Do you flush every single time you use the toilet, or are there times like in the middle of the night, or if it's a number one, when you just let it be till the next time?
Every single time. No, I am not that person that lets anything linger. So
thank you. That's all I wanted to ask.
Every single time flusher. Okay.
Excellent. We got that out of the way. All right. Most important thing. All right. The book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. How did you get Roger? What type of relationship have you had with him? Obviously, you had some type in order to get him to cooperate. How did you get Aaron Rodgers to cooperate with this project?
Well, it wasn't full cooperation, and I did not know him, really. I covered some of his big games, including the game against Dallas in the playoffs when he threw that pass to Jared Cook that might be the best pass I've ever seen in the postseason, or one of the top two or three. But I didn't know him. And then he got traded into my backyard. I was actually scheduled to write a biography of LeBron James. And another book on LeBron came out. I thought there might be some fatigue there. So when Aaron got traded to the Jets, and I lived not too far from the Jets facility, I just thought, this is probably the most prominent American male athlete who has not had a defining biography written about him. He's obviously the most polarizing player in the NFL, and I wanted to find out why. So that's why I took on the project, but I had no relationship with him. And at the end, after months of requesting him through the Jets, through his agent, I even contacted Aaron directly through the regular mail, through email. And finally, in February, he agreed to a sit-down. I had already handed in the first draft of the manuscript in January. Listen, I would have loved to have sat down with him for 20 hours and counted that as full cooperation, but he did give me 2 hours of fact-checking at the end of the process, and he made it a better book.
So what's he like? I guess that's like – I know it's probably kind of a tough question to answer, but what's he like?
You know, in person, he's very engaging and thoughtful, and I've always thought from a distance that he was probably the best interview in the NFL. He gives you long form answers, and my understanding in talking to some of the media who covered him on a regular basis in Green Bay is he was approachable. And during the week, a lot of quarterbacks hide unless it's Wednesday, their chosen day to speak during the week. You can't find them in the locker room when the media is allowed in there. But if you had a big picture feature or piece you were working on, you could approach him and he would engage. And so here in New York, he's been – now, listen, a lot of people don't agree with some of the things he has said and some of the positions he holds on vaccines and conspiracy theories and the like, but he's fearless as a public speaker. That is usually a commendable trait, and I do actually appreciate that about him because most people are not. And I found in asking him questions when we sat down at his home in Malibu that – he was pretty fearless in answering them, and I definitely appreciated that.
How do you think he's misunderstood?
I think that people forget he was considered one of the good guys until COVID. Until he said those words in August of 2021, I've been immunized, which obviously wasn't true. And then it was later found out in November of that year that he was unvaccinated and tested positive. He was considered one of the more socially aware athletes in the NFL. He backed Colin Kaepernick's position. He had supported a charitable cause for victims of the war in the Congo. I wonder how many athletes have ever done that in this country. He rebuked a fan who shouted out an anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem once. President Obama wrote him a letter of thanks. And so that was sort of the way he was looked at. And then all of a sudden, he effectively lied about his vaccine status, and he became a villain. He became the ultimate villain in the NFL. And so it's interesting to see the transformation. Now the public image and perception of him is entirely different, and yet I have to say, he is not backed off at all in terms of being willing to speak his truth in the public arena, even though he's lost endorsements and money for having those positions. And so we'll see how this plays out in New York. I do think if he somehow, I don't think this is going to happen, but if he ever wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, I do think that victory on the field often wipes away some mistakes and unforced errors off the field, and we'll see if he could pull that off.
The book is from Ian O'Connor. Aaron Rodgers is the subject, and he's joining us on the Home of the Cowboys. So when I was looking over the preview and the notes, and I saw Mike McCarthy, my eyes popped out of my head. What did Aaron Rodgers have to say about his former head coach?
Obviously, a lot's been said and written about their relationship. At the end of the day, and listen, they butted heads a lot. Mike McCarthy told me that, and he admitted that. Two very intense competitors. And he did give Aaron a lot of freedom, ultimately, at the line of scrimmage. And Aaron acknowledged that, and he said, listen, we had our differences, but we won a Super Bowl together, and we lit it up offensively for a lot of years. And you can't take that away from Mike McCarthy. And Matt LaFleur, although he had a shorter period of time to work with Rodgers, did not win a Super Bowl with him. And so I think that he was upset at times with the play calling. And Aaron would at times during the week suggest, hey, this is going to work. I really believe in this. I believe in that. And then those plays would not be called to his satisfaction during the game. He would change things a lot at the line of scrimmage and frustrate McCarthy. I'll give you one example. In probably his most devastating postseason defeat was the NFC Championship game against Seattle, the 2014 season. All they had to do was recover an onside kick, and Rodgers is back in the Super Bowl that year. They couldn't do it, but that year, he saw Dallas during the regular season and Tony Romo have a lot of success against that Seattle defense. And there were about a half dozen plays that Romo seemed to run to perfection against the Seahawks. And he told McCarthy, I want these plays run and run a lot. And McCarthy called a handful of those plays only one time each, and Rodgers was really upset about that. So that's just one snapshot of the way that relationship unfolded over time. But I think looking back, Rodgers has a greater appreciation for McCarthy now than he did then, if for no other reason than they won the Super Bowl together and he hasn't won one since.
since you are a self-proclaimed Cowboys diehard lifelong fan. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You have covered sports in this league for a long time, and you have even more McCarthy info. How do you personally feel about him as the Cowboys coach?
I think Mike McCarthy is a better than average coach. He was nice enough to take my phone call during the interview process. He, again, you can't take away the Super Bowl title. He did win that, and I think people have forgotten that to some extent. And I grew up with Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson. I wouldn't put him in that category, certainly, but this is obviously a huge year for him. The whole NFC East, the three coaches would be McCarthy, Sirianni, and Dable. Bill Belichick, the specter of Belichick, hangs over those three coaches this year. And so the Cowboys, it's time for them to get back in the Super Bowl and win it. It's been a long time. They're America's team for a reason. And I think it would be great for the sport if that happens. I don't know if I see it this year. I would love to see it again and sort of have those same childhood feelings I had in watching the Staubach Cowboys do that on a fairly regular basis. But would I put my money on it? No. But I do think when you look, the Cowboys always have talent. They always have players. Their player personnel people always find athletes and ballers, and they have that again. So it's possible, yeah, I wouldn't bet on it. I'd love to see it as an old Cowboys fan.
Talking with Ian O'Connor, author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, out on August 20th. So, Ian, you mentioned there that Aaron looks back more fondly on his time with Mike McCarthy now that he's away from it a little bit. Did you get a similar sense when you talked to McCarthy? Does McCarthy look back on that a little more fondly? Because that was obviously a very ugly split, it felt like, for both of them.
Yeah, I think so. And he's always appreciated Rodgers. I think maybe one aspect of McCarthy's role in Rodgers' career is he developed him. I mean, when Aaron came out of Cal, he held the ball up near his ear and looked very robotic. And that's one of the reasons why he dropped. He was supposed to go number one. All of a sudden, he falls to 24. And a lot of that was built around. And listen, McCarthy graded him as the offensive coordinator with the 49ers holding the first pick. And he didn't love Rodgers. He says now he did. But back then, I talked to Mike Nolan, the head coach at the time, and he said McCarthy did not love Rodgers coming out as much as he loved Alex Smith. But he did develop him as a player and an athlete in Green Bay, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that. People forget the way Rodgers looked coming out of Cal, and McCarthy got him to lower that ball position and used his athleticism. And, yeah, he deserves a lot of credit for Rodgers. And I just think it's short memories and people forgetting that there were concerns about Aaron when he came out of Berkeley that his game might not translate at a high level in the NFL. There were people talking about him as more of not a game manager, but certainly not a franchise player. And now he goes down, I think, as one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. And if he can add one more Super Bowl, sort of like the way John Elway and Peyton Manning did at the end of their careers, they got ring number two, or Elway got both of them at the end of his career. If Rodgers can do that, that would mean a ton to his legacy.
Ian, we've heard a lot over the years about the estrangement between him and his family. What did you find out about that? Was there more to it? What was the cause? Everything.
Yeah, everybody thinks that there's one reason or one development that caused it, and there are really 17 or 18 different things, and there's a lot of he said in it, and the parents and even one of his brothers put a lot of the blame at the feet of Olivia Munn, the actress that he was dating at the time of the estrangement in late in 2014 when it began. And I think that's losing sight of the fact that he hasn't dated her in 7 years, and the estrangement goes on. And so there was some feeling on Aaron's side that the family was living too much off his success. The family denies that. I did spend time with his parents, and they certainly struck me as very nice people, and I don't want to cast any aspersions on them. I think the initial rebellion against religion, he grew up in a very devoutly religious home, and I think that was a part of it early on, not so much right now. His brother, Jordan, being on The Bachelorette and using the family estrangement at the time as part of that narrative, that irritated Aaron. And there are a lot of things like that where you look at it and you say, this estrangement should have ended 5, 6, 7 years ago. The fact that it's gone on nearly 10 years, and I almost feel like it's a living organism right now, and Aaron doesn't know how to kill it off. And it's almost easier to just let it live. But he did have an emotional moment with his father last summer at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament, where they saw each other on the course. They hugged. They said they loved each other. And it might have lasted 15 seconds, but that was a meaningful moment. They hadn't seen each other in 9 years. So I think that hug and that expression of love, hopefully it was the first baby step towards reconciliation.
You also wrote a book on Belichick. How shocked are you that he's unemployed? Would he have interest in this job? And do you think it could work here in Dallas?
Yes, I'm shocked. I couldn't believe he went through a hiring cycle, and he's the greatest NFL coach ever, arguably. And he didn't get one of those jobs. Yeah, I was shocked. And I think he obviously likes Jerry Jones. And I talked to Bill Parcells about this years ago. The problem is going to be if he takes that job. After games, as you guys know, Jerry holds a press conference right outside the locker room. I've waited there a number of times for him in that scrum, and the head coach is down the hall in that auditorium, that press conference room. And if Belichick is saying X and Jerry is saying Y at the same time, and then Belichick's got to confront what Jerry said the next day, it's going to be a problem. That's the only thing. Other than that, I think he does like Jerry Jones a lot, and I think America's team, who wouldn't want to coach the Dallas Cowboys? So I just think if they could work out that detail, and I'm not sure Jerry Jones would go for it, where, hey, maybe you don't hold a press conference after every game while I'm talking down the hallway. Can you agree to that? I don't know what Jones would say to that.
He would say no.
But okay, well I really think that's a problem. If you could take that away, that it would be a great situation for Bill Belichick. And again, name a football coach in America at any level who wouldn't want to coach the Dallas Cowboys. So I would just say if they could somehow work that out, I think it would be a good marriage.
Ian, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on another successful book, and we'll catch up with you moving forward. Enjoy the year.
You too, and it was my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Ian O'Connor, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, here on 105.3 The Fan with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. RJ Choppy does not want to give up on the Olympics yet.
No.
He promises this is the final with a preview of Los Angeles and what we care about pro football in the Olympics 4 years from now. That's next, along with Brian Broaddus from Oxnard on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.